Agora,
when you learn Gemara in English, you're achieving more than by just.
Let's move on to the Tanya now. Okay, so we're learning Higeres HaKodesh and Tanya, which is page Kuf Yud Gimel in the Hebrew and 225 in the English numbering. And we're on the second paragraph on the page, three lines from the bottom, and we're beginning V'kocha Mamash Al Derech Moshe. Where are we up to in this chapter? The Alter Rebbe has been explaining of how the effort that is done by the Jew down below in reaching upwards or outwards, that effort down below is called Maim Nukvin, the feminine waters, and such as, for example, giving charity. So by the Jew giving charity, he's like made some personal effort prior to his prayer, so that evokes a response from on high, from God, that his prayer should be invested with greater animation and intent and inspiration. So V'kocha Mamash Al Derech Moshe is similar to the example or parable that we've used up till now, which is the idea of planting a seed in the ground. And that seed becomes the focus for the energies which are there in the ground and thereby bring about a growth. And that growth is much, much greater than the original seed. So all it takes is a little bit of investment and you get a very big response from on high. So also, similarly, Kol Ma'aseh HaTzedakah Sha'asen Yisrael Oileh Lemalah B'Bchinas Ha'Lo'os Man. Every act of charity that Jews do goes up to the heavenly spheres in a way of Ha'Lo'os Man, which we said before stands for Mayim Nukvin, the feminine waters, meaning an awakening from below. Because we explained last week that the relationship between God and the Jewish people is as of a wife to a husband. So the feminine side is the Jewish people, and the masculine side is God. So all the acts that we do are called the feminine waters, and the acts that he does in response are called the masculine waters. The Shairash Nishmesein Lamala, so all these things that we do, such as charity, go up to the source of our souls above. Hanikra B'Shem Knesset Yisrael V'Imatator, the Loshon HaZayah. It's called by the name Knesset Yisrael, which means the congregation of the Jewish people, or the lower mother, in the expression used in the Holy Zohar, over the page to page 226. Ushchina, Beloshon HaGemara, and also it's called the Shechina. These are alternative terminologies for the same thing, as the Talmud calls it. So that is what he's saying is, the totality of all the souls of the Jewish people is one unit. This is the Yechida. This is the, you know, the total pool of all the souls of the Jewish people that is like one whole where we're all together. Only when the soul has to go into a particular body, then you get a kind of focusing of a part of that totality into a particular individual. But it's actually true that we're still joined to the original pool of souls, even though the individual soul is within each individual. So that's why it's called Knesset Yisrael. It's also called Ima Tatar, and the Shechina, the divine. And it's linked to the divine presence, because the totality of souls is with the souls are described as being part of God himself, part of God above. So therefore all the souls are the Shechina, are the divine presence. And this is made up of all the attributes of God and is unified with him totally. And the first of them is the attribute of kindness. And through this awakening from below, this action that's done by the Jew below, which starts off this energy reaching upwards, that awakens a response from Hashem. So the Jew does a charitable act down below, which is chesed, which is kindness, giving the coin to the poor man. So Hashem responds by doing us a big kindness. Shehu gilui ari yispar leir de lahoy lematel and nishmish yisab b'chinis gilui rav ha'atzum b'sha'as ha'tfila al ponim. Which is, God's response to us is, to say, just like you gave to the poor man something he didn't deserve, because you don't owe anything to a poor man when he comes to the door. You give him undeserved, and you're giving of your own volition, and you're doing a kindness which, you know, is totally to your credit. Giving. So God says, you know what? I'm going to do the same thing to you. I'm going to give you. You might also not be deserving. I'm still going to give you, just like you did. So God bestows upon us. What does he do for us? He's not going to throw coins. But what he does do is that moment when we're in prayer, because this giving of the coin is just before prayer. So that means that we want the effect to be within our prayers. So God, what God does is he pours down on us a kind of hashbar, an influence, which inspires us in our davening. And the Jew feels the closeness of God and feels that inspiration. Yes?
We don't normally get free choice in our giving.
Why no free choice? Because someone knocked on the door.
Yeah.
Well, you've got free choice as to how much to give. You can give them a penny or a pound.
Yeah, but...
And that makes a difference too.
We don't have free choice in giving because Hashem has sent someone to knock on our door.
Well, you could refuse. There are some people that say not in and refuse, you know. Free will hasn't been taken away just because of someone standing at the door. What you're saying is the Torah is very strong in telling us that we should not refuse.
No, what
but if... But there's still got free will to not answer the door or refuse at the door.
How many people don't answer the door?
Exactly. So you've just proven what I've said, that we do have free choice.
No, we don't have free choice because someone has been designed and been sent to be to make.
What you're saying is that by rights we shouldn't have the choice to refuse this person, because we should realize that it's divinely ordained that he should come to the door, and therefore we can't refuse.
Yes, yeah.
But we still have free choice. We still are able to refuse. What you're saying is, having learned Tanya and learned Torah and you learned Halacha that says you mustn't refuse anybody when they come to the door, you don't choose otherwise. But there is still a free choice there. You're not bound in this situation.
But that person has been sent.
I don't think you're listening to what I'm saying. So
yes, I do. No, I
we'll continue. Ki asher l'gdulasa in cheike. Because even though God's greatness cannot be fathomed, ad dekula kamei kolach hashivi, until the whole world, the whole universe, is reckoned as naught in comparison to him. Haribim kaim sha'atam maitzi gedulasa shamatam maitzi in vesunusai. Kamaim sheyodim chulam. But however, in the place where you find God's greatness, there you also find his humility. So what he's saying is this, that God is so great, we are unable to fathom even a small fraction of his greatness. So to say that he is going to bother giving us something because we gave a penny to a poor man, well, it's like, it's nothing. The whole existence of the whole universe is like a fleck of minute dust in the atmosphere to him. So he's going to bother to send down to us some kind response to... Nah, it's not worth it. What for? The answer is that in God's greatness, we also find juxtaposed with God's greatness. This is actually a text that is said in V'yitn L'cha, Motzei Shabbos. It's a quote from the Talmud that it says, we find this statement, or we find this principle in the Chumash, in the Nevi'im, in the prophets, and in the Ksuvim, in the writings, the scriptures. We find in all three places the concept that when God declares his greatness, at the very same time he shows his humility. In other words, even though he's involved with very great things, he is still prepared to be involved with the very small things. So here's an example. He's the great God, the great creator, and what I've done just now is like negligible compared to everything. And he's prepared to take that on board and respond to it, even to little me. That's what he's saying over here. So in other words, even though this simple Jew has just given a penny, and that's an insignificant statement in the whole history of the creation of the world, but God still responds to that too. Even the very, very small matters to him too.
Well, don't be haughty, of course, don't be snobby, but on the other hand, don't belittle yourself either.
We're not talking about human beings here, we're talking about God, and he's the greatest of the great. So why should he be bothered with the smallest of the small? The answer is, he still is. And the rabbis point out that whenever he stresses his greatness, at the very same time, in the psukim nearby, he also mentions his ability to be involved with the lowliest of members of society as well.
They are also his creation.
Indeed, but the question is, if he, everything in creation, is like a speck of dust, everything in creation is like a speck of dust, all the more so one small individual within the creation is like a speck of dust. Do you bother about the specks of dust that are around you?
No. That's his.
So why should he?
Because it's a part of his plan, which is...
You're giving the answer, you know. But we have to bring out the point that in spite of the fact that it's all negligible as far as he is concerned, he still interests himself. Why? You're saying it's because it's part of his creation. But we just established that his creation is negligible to him. It's like a fleck of dust.
Yeah, that's...
You might have made a creation which is like a fleck of dust. You wouldn't take any notice of it. If you made a creation, a nice big sculpting as tall as this ceiling, then you're interested. But if, you know, if you a bit of a fleck of dust that comes off your jacket, you created that too because it came off your jacket. You're not interested. So that's the point we're bringing out here, that even though by logical thought, you would think that God is not interested in the very small, because the whole of the creation is very small to him. So why should he be interested in my little minute action that I just did? The answer is he still is.
Because one little movement or flat which goes out of sync can affect his whole master plan.
God isn't affected by anything that he's created.
Or it's a creation can go out of sync.
Okay, so you're giving a bit of background or filling out the point. This is what it says in a pasuk, that he shines his light into the darkness to the righteous ones and is merciful and favors and is righteous. Dal yidei sha'adam chanan v'racham v'tzadik tzedakas ohev. Through the fact that man is merciful, is favors others, and is righteous and does charitable acts, he causes goyreim. He causes la'ir Hashem sheyizach l'nishmasai hamnubeshes begufai. He causes that God should shine into his soul, which is enclosed in his body. Ha'aymed b'chayshach, which is standing in darkness. So he's learning the pasuk by saying zorach b'chayshach er. Why will God shine his light into the place of darkness, which he is relating to our bodies? Because our soul is within the body, and the body is regarded as something of darkness compared to the soul. So why does God do that? Because we have shown mercy and righteousness by giving charitably to others. Shumashcha dechivya, because the body is described as the skin of the snake. It's like an external jacket to the soul. And therefore the soul is like imprisoned in this dark clothing, jacket, or whatever you want to call
complain.
It. There, Nikra B'Shem Yeshua, and this is called by the word Yeshua, which means salvation. When the darkness is changed over to light. V'zehu Matzmiach Yeshuais, and this is the concept of making grow the salvations. Now why is he coming out with this now, because we now have to go back to the beginning of the chapter, where he started off by quoting a pasuk which says, Zorea tzedakos, matzmiach yeshuos. The one that sows charitable acts causes to grow salvations. And this is what he's been explaining now. That through our Zorea tzedakos, our planting, or sowing of the righteous acts and merciful acts to others, that is the little act which is compared to a seed that results in God responding to us greatly by bestowing on us much of his godly light, even though we're in a place of darkness within the body. And that's the Matzmiach Yeshuas. He's made grow salvations. That's the Yeshua. This salvation grows from the planting of the charity. That we sow in the upper world, which is called the land of the desirable land, which is referring to the divine presence and the congregation, the Jewish people, as we said before. So what he's saying is this, that through our act down here of giving a penny to charity, the result of that is actually a planting of an energy in the highest world where all the neshamas are. So we're planting something there too. And that's what the planting is. And that in turn evokes a tremendous response from Hashem. Like the growth of a big tree from a small seed. So it's not just the little seed of the penny down here. That penny down here has planted something in the higher supernal worlds, and that's a very powerful thing. And there's an even greater powerful thing is in God's response. Why is it called Shechina? Why is this spiritual level that we call Knesset Yisrael, why is it called Shechina? Because the effects of it come down, back down into the world. From the word Shechina is from the word Shochein, which means to dwell in. It's the indwelling of God's presence in the world. So it's not just up there, it has an effect back down here into this world. As it says, your kingdom is the kingdom of all the worlds. In other words, it goes down through all the worlds. It doesn't just remain up there. And in particular, particularly the tzedakah of Eretz Yisrael, that has an even greater effect when we give charity to institutions and individuals in Eretz Yisrael. That is even more powerful, because the Eretz Yisrael down here is directly connected with the Eretz Yisrael equivalent in the higher worlds, and that's an even higher level. Shazria nikletes takeh umiyad be'eretz al yona, because then the effect of giving charity in Eretz Yisrael, the effect of it, it's immediate. It's immediately absorbed in the higher worlds over there. Whereas if in Chutz Laretz, outside Eretz Yisrael, there's some barriers to overcome before the effects are felt in the higher worlds. But Eretz Yisrael has a direct connection with the higher level that we're talking about of Knesset Yisrael, and therefore the charity that we do for Eretz Yisrael has an immediate effect in the higher worlds. Without anything preventing it at all. Because there's nothing to create a barrier between the land of Eretz Yisrael down here, which is called Eretz Achaim, and the supernal Eretz Yisrael, which is the high spiritual level in the higher worlds. It's a direct link. Kizer Shah Shamayim, because this is the gate of heaven. Like Yaakov said when he went to he passed by Har Maria, Yerushalayim, and he said, Ein Zer Kim Beis Elokim, this can only be the house of God, Vezer Shar HaShamayim, and this is the gate of heaven. So that is telling us that Eretz Yisrael generally, and Yerushalayim in particular, and the place of the Beis HaMikdash in more particularly, is the gate of heaven. So there's a direct link.
Does it mean that when you're on the Kotel, you should...
Mash'ein came b'chutz l'aretz, whereas this does not apply so much outside Eretz Yisrael, v'day l'meivin, and this is enough for those that can understand. That term he uses, that if someone knows more Kabbalistically how these things work, then he will understand greater. Just before we conclude the chapter, just to mention something which he mentions elsewhere in Tanya, where the Alter Rebbe says that it was the schus of his collecting for the Jews in Eretz Yisrael that particularly stood him in good stead when he had the problem of being arrested by the Tsarist government after having been denounced by the Misnagdim, etc., and there were 22 charges laid against him, and he was under the threat of death penalty. So he says that one of the main zechuyot, the main merits which he had, was tzedakah v'Eretz Yisrael, because that is even more powerful than any other tzedakah of outside Eretz Yisrael. Cool.